Okay. Thought I was up here too fast. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful day. Let's just all get ready to worship the Lord tonight. Let's turn it all over to God. Y'all will. We'll stand and go to the Lord in prayers. We open up our service. You know, I say it all the time, but you know, God's great. And He is all the time. We just love Him. We just praise Him. We thank you for y'all being here again. Wonderful day of service so far. Let's continue now. Let's all be in one mind and one accord. And we just worship the Lord. If there's any prayer requests this evening, just show by the raising of your nose and sees each and every one. Let's all just pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love and praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace. Lord, again, we just thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come together, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, ready to worship you, ready to praise you, dear Lord, but most of all, dear Lord, ready to just to let your message come forth to us tonight. Dear Lord, we're here with anticipation, dear Lord. We thank you for answering prayers, dear Lord. We thank you for the healings. And, dear Lord, for the testimonies of praise that's been given for you to right now, dear Lord. And we just love you. But, dear Lord, there are situations we want to bring to you now, dear Lord. You see the hands that are raised. Lord, you know the depths of our hearts, even before we speak it. Dear Lord, we're asking now for you to heal, to mend, to protect. Dear Lord, we're asking you to put families back together. Lord, we're asking you for just praying for our children. Dear Lord, we're asking you to touch them, dear Lord, and keep them safe. Again, dear Lord, we just praise you. And, dear Lord, as we gather together now, dear Lord, we just want to lift up those that are in assisted living, nursing homes, and hospitals. Lord, those that are in recovery on the way back to getting healthy, dear Lord, and those that need you right now, dear Lord. There's anticipation, dear Lord, and those desires that just need to be touched by you. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for our pastor, our church. Lord, we ask you to bless him and his ministry. And, dear Lord, we just ask you to strengthen and guide us through this service and for all in all. Lord, let your Holy Spirit, Lord, have a free ring amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. And we just giving you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, we're going to ask you to turn with me and sing along. Good to have the choir back with us. They've been practicing this evening. Turn to page 276, Prayer Bells in Heaven. We're just going to lift up the Lord. Page 276. Sweet.
until the swift became its blood they say, ringing the purple veil in agony, bringing salvation that we might be free. The bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, bringing, bearing the message unto Jesus, the King of glory. When you are burdened down with trouble,
couple of announcements before we go and take up the evening offering and a praise report. I've been asked by a few people today, and thank you for caring and your prayers, about my dad. I know everything happened last Wednesday real fast, and he got sent quickly to the hospital, and they were setting up surgery for him. Dad's doing better. The doctor said what they had to do, they believe they've got everything, but it's... Now it's just a time of healing, a time of watching him. They're going to keep him in the hospital through Wednesday, loading him up with extra antibiotics. But I do thank you. I love this church, and I love each and every one of you. Thank you for always caring for each other, for always being there for each other. But most of all, thank you for praying, and that we always pray to an almighty God in the name of Jesus for each and every one of you. So we just love you, and I thank y'all for that. On the announcement side, we've got a... Ida Bell meeting, we were mentioned earlier, they moved it up a week, so it'll be the 7th, which is this Tuesday. Be over in the Curtis Center. They moved it up because of the next week holiday of Valentine's Day. Also, Amazing Gracers, they're going to have an opportunity. Their February outing will be going to the Southern Lanes over in Douglasville. They're going to do some bowling. There's a sign-up sheet at the park. They're asking if you would meet over at the Southern Lanes at 11:00 a.m. And there'll be more information to come, but there is a sign-up sheet. Please sign up if you get the chance to, so they can get a head count on how many is going to be there. And also, want to announce a revival. Some of y'all might have seen it on Facebook, but the revival is going to be over at Lighthouse Church over in Bowden. It'll be this Friday and Saturday evening, the 10th and 11th at 7 p.m., and Brother Jeff Morrow will be ministering in this revival. So plans if you can to help support them in the church, but also an opportunity to go and just be and worship the Lord for a new revival. So praise God. That's all the announcements. All righty then, we're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Brother Luke, Thomas. Brother Luke, would you ask the Lord to offer? Amen.
The veil was torn. born. His love so amazing. His love so amazing. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus Messiah.
He's the name of
the Lord for his mercy tonight. Y'all worship as I sing Mercy Walked In.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. And that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand. Blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, oh, how could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken, I felt born again. Mercy walked in. Oh, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain, when you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change and you're down in the valley, faith, child, you'll never know. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Oh, when things go wrong, I know He'll make them right. And the God of the times is still God in the bad times. Oh, the God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith, When we're up on the mountain, and you know the talk comes so easy, when life's at its best, and now it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations. Well, that's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, I know He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You know the God of the day is still God in the night.
I am so thankful for God's mercy and to know that He is the God on the mountain as well as the valleys. In fact, He's God all over the world. God in the greatest of times, He's God in the lowest of times. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to sing an old-fashioned song tonight, or try to. It's simply, I've got something that the world can't give. The world can't take away. How many's glad that you got something you can't get in the world, and you sure, the world sure can't take it away from you? This is a song that Mother used to sing a lot in Rockmart. In fact, I don't know if I think she wrote one of the verses, maybe both of them, I don't know. Well, I've got something that the world can't give, the world can't take away. I got something that the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. Well, I've got something worth talking about. Sometimes makes me dance and shout. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Well, now I was a sinner without any hope until God came in my heart. Told me He would be my guide, never would depart. And that is why I'm singing today. I fell down on my knees and prayed. I got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take away. Well, now I got something that the world can't give, the world can't take it away. I got something that the world can't give, keep me day by day. I got something worth talking about, sometimes makes me dance and shout. I got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take away. Without any hope until God came in my heart. Told me He would be my guide, never would depart. That is why I'm singing today. I fell down on my knees and prayed. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Well, now I got something that the world can't give, the world can't take it away. I got something that the world can't give that keeps me day by day. I got something worth talking about, sometimes makes me dance and shout. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. I don't think you say that second verse. Now you can have this joy today if you will just obey. All you gotta do is put your trust in God in the old-fashioned way. Then without a doubt you begin to say that you got something that works. You got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Well, now I got something that the world can't give, the world can't take away. I got something that the world can't give. man that keeps me day by day. I got something worth talking about, sometimes makes me dance and shout. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. In the world. Certainly the world can't take it away from you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Have your Bibles, go with us tonight to the book of St. Luke. In the 8th chapter of the book of St. Luke, I want to read verses 41 through 42 and then drop down and read 49 through 50. God been good to anybody today? Man, hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise, if you would. Praise the Lord. St. Luke chapter 8, verses 41 and 42. When you get there, say praise the Lord. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Go with me to verse 49 and 50. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you. How we thank you, God, for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, for your abundant love. Thank you for your spirit that we feel here tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would just anoint this service tonight. God, just rain that heavenly manna down. Father, I pray that you would use this messenger. God, just speak to us. That you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will, to your word. Father, we do remember those who are hurting tonight. Many are sick and afflicted, and I pray, God, that you would reach out your healing hand to them. And Father, those who are lost and undone, there's still a burden, God, in our heart for those. Father, I pray, God, that you would prick them, draw them to an altar of repentance before it's everlasting too late. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that you so richly deserve. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them how much you love them. Amen. I love you. Praise the Lord. And God loves you as well. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, "Don't Be Afraid to Believe." Don't be afraid to believe. Let's look at some situations. Let's look at this thing from maybe a point or two. The Bible says that Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue, so undoubtedly he was a religious man. How many knows that bad things sometimes happen to good people? Doesn't mean God doesn't love us. Doesn't mean that we've erred or we've sinned or we've messed up. It's just coincidence. It's just situations that happen in the world. But there was a desperate situation. His one and only daughter was dying. Imagine being 12 years old and facing death. His only hope evidently was Jesus. I would imagine as a father, as a loving dad, he'd probably tried everything that he possibly could, humanly possible, probably every doctor that he could, every situation, every person that he could to maybe get her better. But she was dying, and he knew that she was dying, so he goes to Jesus. And we find that when he arrived at where Jesus was, he fell down and worshiped Jesus first. Before he ever asked him, before he ever begged him, before he ever besought him to come into his house. Excuse me. So he was at the feet of Jesus, begging, praising, and worshiping him. But when he would have Jesus come into his house to heal his daughter, the Bible says the multitude thronged him. People began to get in the way, not meaning to harm him, not meaning to keep Jesus, but they wanted something from Jesus as well. And this is where we have the story of, as Jesus was walking toward Jairus' house,
The woman with the issue of blood, an emergency arose, and she saw fit that she needed and had to get to Jesus, and you know the story. Nothing was going to impede or stop her from getting to Jesus, and she pressed through the crowd just to reach down and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was, in fact, made whole. Now, all along this time, Jairus was probably patiently waiting for Jesus to get to his house, probably hoping that Jesus would get there before it was too late. Jesus began to say, "Who touched me?" The disciples looked around. "Lord, a bunch of people touched you." "No, somebody touched me because I felt virtue leave my body." And the woman came trembling and stood in front of Jesus. And you know, remember the story, how that Jesus told her that her faith had made thee whole. And all along this time, I would imagine that Jairus was thinking the time is running out. I begin to think how that we are sometimes when we need Jesus' attention right away. Whatever may arise in our life, whether it be a desperate situation or whether it be an emergency or a sickness or affliction, and things begin to happen and maybe we can't really seem to get to where we need to be with Jesus. And this was the case in point here. But we don't find Jairus being upset. We don't find him impatiently grabbing Jesus and said, "You've got to come to my house." But he waited patiently. And then the terrible, terrible news arrived that his messenger came and said, "Trouble not the master. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead." Jesus overheard the message, and he responded in an unusual way. He said, when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." If you will recall, when Jesus was first beckoned to come unto Lazarus' house, he did not come instantly. He did not come right away. How many knows that Jesus is on time always? Maybe not our time, maybe not in our way, but he's always on time. That was 4 days, I believe, before he actually arrived at Bethany to the house of Mary and Martha and of Lazarus. And by this time, Lazarus was dead. But you know what? Jesus didn't panic. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly that he was going to be there and he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Now we find another situation here that Jesus has been held back or waited. In fact, who knows the mind of the Lord? Maybe it was always his intention not to get there until the maiden or the little girl had actually passed away. And what a great and mighty miracle there was to be held when Jesus came into the house. But Jairus didn't know that. The people around Jairus didn't know that. The messenger certainly did not know that, because his response was, "Just don't trouble the master. It's too late now." People sometimes, meaning well, will tell you, "Just don't worry about it anymore. It's too late." Or maybe some well-intended saint will tell you, "You know what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and you know, God will deliver them out of all." Maybe it's his purpose that you're going through the situation. And whatever the case may be, we know that God does not ever make any mistakes. He doesn't say, "Whoops, I'm sorry." He always has a plan of action. How many is thankful, and how many would agree with me sometimes that God has had to let us know it's his time and not always our time? So we find that now Jesus goes to the house anyway, and he tells Jairus, he said, basically, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And I thought about that, how that we get sometimes afraid to believe. We will believe up to a point when we see that there's a possibility. It's not too easy, not too hard, not too difficult to believe when we still see a ray of hope. And when we look at a situation and we say, "Well, Lord, you know, there's still hope that you can do this." But now at the death of this little girl, all that hope seems to be gone. And we're almost afraid to believe after the fact. And the devil jumps all over that and says, what if it doesn't happen? What if your miracle doesn't come to pass? What if God doesn't heal that situation? What if God doesn't raise you up? What if God doesn't make a way? And we begin to be a little fearful, actually fearful to go ahead and believe and claim it. You know, the Bible says, as our faith is, so shall it be. I would dare say that many of us, speaking for myself mainly, many times we give up on the Lord before the Lord is able to let us know that nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with the Lord. If you believe that, give Him a hand clap of praise tonight. God can do anything. He can do the impossible. So now we find that Jesus, accompanied by Peter, James, and John, goes to the house of Jairus, where the messenger has already let them know that the girl is dead. But Jesus went into the house anyway. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother. Everybody else, he excused them. And the reason he excused them is because they were weeping and wailing because they saw an impossibility. It already declared it impossible to be done. Thank you for coming, but there's nothing you can do. There may not be anything the pastor can do. There may not be anything that father and mother can do. But somebody get with me now. When Jesus comes into the house, I said, when Jesus arrives on the scene, when Jesus is there, He makes the impossible possible. He turns those detrimental things into miracles. Amen. He turns sickness and affliction into good health. And in this case, He had no doubt whatsoever that He was going to raise this little 12-year-old girl. So He excused all of the people, the naysayers and those. And you know, I'm sure they loved her. And I'm sure they didn't intend to be a hindrance. But their doubt was a hindrance. Sometimes when we want deliverance, we can't surround ourselves with doubters. We can't allow the negative people to tell us it's all over, it can't be done. We can't allow that because Jesus is trying to tell us the things that are impossible with you, the things you can't do, I can do if you're not afraid to believe me. Jesus wasn't being hurtful. He just had to excuse the naysayers. And those that were wailing and those that were weeping and those that were declaring this over and done with. And still that wasn't enough. The Bible tells us that when He came into the house, He suffered no man go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But He said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. Not only did they laugh Him to scorn, but they declared, knowing that she was dead. Now, it's something to tell the pastor, there's nothing you can do, Pastor. I'm glad you came, but there's not a thing you can do. You can't tell Jesus that because He can do all things. I said, when Jesus comes into the house, things will change. You may have been told it'll never happen. You may have been told you'll never get over it. You may have been told you'll always be that way. But let me tell you, when Jesus arrives, when Jesus comes and takes hold of the situation, get ready. Don't be afraid to believe. Don't be afraid to call it done. Even before you can't see the evidence and you can't see the effects yet, go ahead and step out on faith and say that all things are possible with the Lord and declare it done. Don't be afraid. Because Satan will hinder you every way he possibly can. Don't you know Satan was all giddy when the messenger arrived? Don't bother the master. You know, if I was you, I wouldn't go to church and pray. It's never going to get any different. You know, I just happen to think, I've actually heard people say, There's no use to pray for them anymore. And I say, why? They're never going to change. You don't expect them to change. You done called them dead spiritually. You just like the spectators that were there around Jairus' daughter, laughing him to scorn, saying that she's not dead, she's only sleeping. But Brother Eddie, I just know they're never going to get any better. They're never going to do any better. Every time they try to turn around and do something good in their life, they go right back. Let me tell you something, saints of God. Don't declare something dead that Jesus is still working on. Come on, don't give up on them. Jesus didn't give up on you, and he certainly didn't give up on me. He could have said, no, you're dead. He could have said, bury him. He's never going to amount to anything, but something allowed Jesus to say, you know, he's just sleeping. I'm going to bring him alive, and I'm going to bring him in the Ark of the Covenant, amen, of my grace and mercy, and I'm going to raise him out of that dead situation and give him life and breath, spiritual life and breath. So Jesus excused them. Then look here what he said. And he put them all out. Let's me to know that his three most trusted disciples had a little doubt. They didn't mean to. They're good people. They're disciples. Many went on to proclaim the gospel of Christ. But understand, when Jesus wants to do a miracle, he's got to have somebody somewhere not be afraid and go ahead and call it done. And the devil's saying, don't you do that, because you'll have to stand up and tell the audience that you're sorry it didn't happen. And that fear comes up. I can't call it. Wasn't going to, but I might get in the story of my mother and my little brother. Might just do that. But Jesus said, Peter, James, and John, I'm going to have to ask you to step outside. I love you, brothers, just like sons to me. But I got to have somebody in here that believes about what I'm fixing to do. Mother and Daddy, I know you love this little girl, but I perceive that there's just a little bit of doubt. I can't work with that. I can't operate when those around me are negative. So he put them all out. And he said, he took her by the hand. You know, I told you I took Mother's hand after she had lost that last breath. And I touched her hand at the funeral home. Nothing happened. But if Jesus touched her hand, she would have had to come out of that casket. And there would have been many people say, oh, no, that'll never happen. Why? We're afraid to, because she's already dead. Now, I want to talk about that in the spiritual realm. How many have given up on prayers that we've been praying for years? We decide, well, it just must not be God's will. That may not be the case at all. Maybe you haven't had the faith to believe that it's actually going to happen. That don't take a bit of faith after it happens. We can stand and testify God healed and done this, but would stand up and testify before he does it. Not being afraid to call it done. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I think about the three Hebrew children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They wasn't afraid to believe. He said, you know what? Even if he doesn't do it, amen, we're still going to go into the fire. We're still going to put our faith and trust in him. They wasn't afraid to believe that God would deliver them. And Daniel and David and all of those wonderful patriarchs of old, they wasn't afraid to believe. The prophet, amen, on the mountaintop praying for rain. And all he saw was a small cloud about the size of a man's hand. He said, we better get down. It's about to come an abundance of rain. Church, if we could have that much faith, the faith is of a grain of mustard seed to declare it done. Revival's coming. Amen. Souls are going to be saved. Children are going to come to the Lord. You know, we've said that time and time again. But how do we believe it? Do we believe it? Have we given up? Have we said it'll never happen? Don't be afraid to believe. Don't be afraid to call it done. Don't be afraid to declare it before the fact happens. I had someone at the funeral home when I introduced my brother, and they said, "Oh, is this the one that your mother testified about his arm?" I said, "Yeah, look at his arm. It's as straight as the other one." And I know that many of you have heard that story over and over, but mother wasn't afraid to declare it. She was at first. You see, Dennis broke his arm when he was in the second grade. Broke it right in the elbow, and they rushed him to Rome Hospital. And after they had put it in traction, and the doctors told them that he would never be able to completely straighten his arm. It would heal, and it would be just as strong, but it would never be straight. It would never be able to reach and touch the back of his head. And mother just didn't want to accept that. Mother had been raised in church, and she had seen miracles, and she had seen God touch and anoint and turn impossibilities into possibilities before. So she prayed and she prayed, and she had him anointed, and she wanted that arm to be straight, and it was just as crooked as the doctor said it was for a long period of time. And finally, she said the Lord just kind of revealed to her, "Why don't you stand up in church and testify about Dennis's healing?" And the first thing she said, "Well, they're going to see that it's still crooked." See, sometimes when God wants us to step out on faith, our body has just and our mind has a little bit of fear to call that done. Because we're so afraid that somebody's going to say, "Well, it didn't happen. It didn't take place." So she didn't do it to start with. And God kept on. "I want you to stand up. I want you to testify about Dennis's healing." It was her home church. She said, "Okay, I'll do that. They know me." And so she got up and she testified about Dennis's healing. And they did like she thought they would do. They kind of looked over there and, "Well, it's still crooked. Bless her heart. Maybe it'll happen, but right now it's still crooked. And by the way, the doctor said it would always be crooked, so we're going to believe the doctors." Amen. Oh, me. So she thought she had done it, but the Lord said, "No, I want you to testify again. Every time you have an opportunity to testify, I want you to stand and testify about not only God healing Dennis's arm, but straightening it out." So she began to testify about God straightening Dennis's arm every chance she got, still in the home church. People got used to hearing it. So one day there was a youth rally. That's when three or four churches get together, and it was in Rome, Georgia. And the Lord just spoke to her and said, "You need to stand up and declare it here in this church among people that don't know about the situation." And first she said, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because he's here and they'll see his arms crooked." But finally, how many know the Lord doesn't want to take no for an answer? So he kept urging her, and finally she stands up in front of that big crowd, and she said, "I want to thank God for healing my son's arm. It was broke. The doctor said it would never be straight, and I thank God for straightening his arm." Everybody said, "Praise the Lord." And Dennis went home with a crooked arm. And for several more days, he had a crooked arm. But one day she looked out the back door, out the back window. Dennis and I, we were on the playground or on the swings or doing something, and she looked and did a double take. And Dennis was on the swing or something, and when he got off, she noticed that he was moving his left arm, and it was straight as the right arm. Now, when God does, I don't know. But maybe he tested mother, "Are you afraid to believe what I have told you?" If mother had been so afraid, maybe she hadn't testified those times and time again. Who knows? Dennis's arm may still be crooked today. But because she obeyed God and because she put all the fear behind her and she said, "You know what? I know what the doctor said. I know what people say. But the Lord told me to go ahead and testify, and I'm going to reach out by faith and I'm going to declare it done. And I think the Lord has sent me tonight to tell somebody, do not give up yet. Do not quit yet. Don't call it impossible yet. One more time for Jesus' sake. Say, I thank God for healing. I thank God for delivering. I thank God for making a way." Whatever the situation is, somebody in this church tonight needs to hear that. Please don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to believe. Don't be afraid. The first response or the first thought is, "What if it doesn't happen?" Well, what if it does? What if it does? Kevin's about to turn 45 years old. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory. But Mr. Allen, children with this severe problems very rarely reach school age. And for several years, we had that school age as basically the end of Kevin's life. But the Lord gave a scripture that was there, said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. We held to that, and we declared it. And we said, Lord, for as long as you let him stay here, we're going to love him, we're going to take care of him, we're going to believe that you're going to touch him. And God has allowed him. That's just unreal. Last time he was sick in the hospital, one of the nurses said, and how old is he? And we said, and she said, you know, that's almost an impossibility. These children or these people severely like this to live that long. You know what? We just said, you know, thank God. It's by God's grace, not anything that we've done. The Lord has done it. But somebody needs to make that assurance, make that statement. Oh, it's one thing to say it under our breath. It's one thing to kind of say it to our husband or wife, but when we stand and make that testimony, when we stand and declare it, and I guarantee the whole time that you're trying to stand and declare it, Satan's saying, you better not say that. You better not say that. What if it doesn't happen? They're going to think you're a false prophet. It has nothing to do with that. But it has everything. Why would Jesus tell him, don't be afraid to believe? He could have just said, just believe. But he knew the mind of Jairus. He knew the mentality of Jairus. And he knew that Jairus was probably thinking, I just arrived too late. If I'd just done something a little bit sooner. But Jesus said, don't fear. Fear not. Just believe. Jesus took the hand of that little 12-year-old girl. And he told her, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway. And he, being Jesus, commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. I'm glad Jesus hasn't told me not to tell no man what is done. That was because his ministry was still ongoing and his time of his apprehension was not time. And if they had told him, it would have created a lot more uproar. But you know what? Jesus hasn't told me to not tell about his miracles, and I'm going to declare it. I'm going to tell it every chance I get. I'm going to glorify him and I'm going to praise him. Amen. And eternity, when I get over to heaven, I'm still going to praise him for every prayer he's answered, for the impossibilities that he made possible. Time will not allow me to tell you time and time and time again that the Lord has stepped out, he stepped in and turned impossibilities into my life as the possibilities. But don't be afraid to declare it done. Maybe the situation looks bad. Maybe it looks like an impossibility to you. But Jesus needs somebody to stand up with boldness. Say, Lord, I'm going to call it done in Jesus' name. Or that makes the devil so mad. Because what his main tool is to put fear in your life. Fear that it won't be done. Fear that it can't be done. Fear that it's too late. I imagine Jairus went through all of those emotions. Jesus told him, said, don't be afraid. Just believe. I'd like for you to stand tonight. And I don't know. I have no idea. But I believe God is speaking to somebody's heart tonight. Something that maybe you've been believing for a period of time. Something you've been praying about. Don't be afraid to call it done. Brother Eddie, it hadn't happened. In fact, it's gotten worse. It got worse for Jairus. It got worse for his daughter. But it wasn't too late. As I said earlier, what's too late for us is not too late for Jesus. Can I ask Penny if you'd come to the piano tonight? There's a simple song that says, only believe, only believe. All things are possible if we'll only believe. How many believes that tonight? Would you bow your heads in prayer as we begin to sing? If you have a situation, something that you've been, maybe it's you, maybe it's a loved one, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a job. I don't know what it is, but I do know this, that nothing is impossible with the Lord. Only believe. Some of you elders come. This altar is open. You want to declare it done tonight? You want to come and receive that miracle? Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Only believe. Only
reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy. He won't hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. And touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy. He won't hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Yes, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find that He's not too busy. He won't hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, no needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. The Lord is deserving of our praise. Hallelujah. One more time for Jesus, if you would. Just love Him.
Praise the Lord. This altar is still open. If anyone needs prayer. And I want to thank the Lord for answering prayers. I want to thank Him for loving us enough that He knows better than I know. And when we pray to Him and then strengthened by Him, it leads us forward. And we love you. Love each and every one of you. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. Yes, brother. God. Testimonies of praise. It builds our faith as we hear, not only for what God does for us, but as we hear what He's doing for others, and that we can stand in the gap with each other. Praise God. I sure do love y'all. Praise God. I thank you for coming tonight. Those of you watching online, we love you. We miss you. I wish you could be here with us. Don't forget about all the announcements, all the activities going forward. All hearts and minds clear. And this altar is open if anyone else needs prayer. Or just grab one of us and we'll pray, be loved. Love to pray with you because it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Amen. All righty. Well, this prayer we're going to dismiss. Don't forget Wednesday night service, Ida Bell Tuesday night, and all the other activities. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love you. And Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, it is just so relieving, dear Lord, that you just let us come together as we praise and worship you. Lord, now as we're preparing to part, dear Lord, I ask you to keep us safe. Lord, bring us back at our appointed time. But dear Lord, for those that are going through procedures this week, waiting on test results, those that are in the hospitals, Lord, all the prayers that have gone forth, dear Lord, we're just lifting each and every one up to you. Lord, because we're expecting great things, and we know that you will, dear Lord. Our hope is in you. And we just praise you and we honor you in the most precious name above. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful week. Praise God.